Well, hello, everybody. I'm John Loughlin, director of FVD International, Forum for Democracy International. We're in the European Parliament today. I'm delighted to welcome, as my guest today, Marcel de Graaf, member of the European Parliament for Forum for Democracy, Joachim Kuz, member of the European Parliament for Alternative für Deutschland, and Willem Engel, who is a campaigner and chairman or president of Virus Truth, Virus Wahrheit, which is a pressure group that campaigns on the issue of vaccines and COVID-related policies. We are discussing today the letter which Marcel de Graaf, Joachim Kuz and other members of the European Parliament have written to the European Medical Agency. In this letter, which is a 20-page document or so, very densely argued, and which I encourage our viewers to read, you can find it on Marcel de Graaf's website and also there's a link to it from fedinternational.com. There are a number of arguments made in favour of this appeal to withdraw the vaccines. Some of the arguments concern procedures which were either not followed or which were deliberately violated or changed in advance. Other arguments concern the use to which the vaccines have been put, allegedly wrongly. There are also arguments concerning the harmful nature of the vaccines, and even arguments concerning alleged confusion between the batches which were used for testing and the batches which were actually used on people. Marcel, among all these arguments, perhaps you'd like to tell our viewers what has brought you to do this letter and what are the most important points, do you think?
Yes, well, to start with, and that's why Willem Engel is here, I got a copy of the letter that Willem sent to the Dutch medical agency with a lot of the same arguments as that we used in that letter, because I contacted Willem and I said, well, we'd like to use your letter as a concept and we had to rework it, of course, because we have a completely different legislation for the European Medical Agency as for the Dutch institute that approves medicines. So we had to rework it, but I got this letter and I was shocked, because we already know a lot of things about these COVID vaccines. We know that they're not effective. I mean, if a vaccine is effective, then why got four of them, or five, or whatever? Because they still don't work after the first time. Which, in my time, when I was young, a vaccine would create immunity immediately.
Well, you made a video about this not so long ago. You said if they worked, you wouldn't need boosters all the time.
Yeah, so that's pretty obvious. Exactly. So that we knew that already, and we know that the details on the contracts are not given to the public, so it's all with secrecy and hidden SMSs and money going to places where we don't know if it's used well or not. Taxpayers' money. So we already had an idea that this whole thing was messy and in some way corrupted. But then I got this letter, and it basically said, well, this disapproval and the way we got to disapproval is also completely messed up. And messed up in a way that really shocked me, because if you approve a batch, a certain vaccine or certain medicine, then you expect that the medicine that is approved is the medicine that is applied to patients or to citizens. And if there's a difference between that, then you are basically being vaccinated with a non-approved.
With something that wasn't approved.
Whatever substance. So. Well, that really shocked me, and that was why I was so enthusiastic about the action of Willem, and that I said, well, we need to take this to a much higher level. Yep. We need to take this to the European level, because every European citizen is being exposed to something they shouldn't be exposed to.
Well, one of the points that struck me, I mean, a number of the arguments are rather technical. They concern procedure and so on, but there's one detail that I think anyone can understand, and that is that the descriptions, the official descriptions of these vaccines run to respectively 574 pages and 224 pages. And doctors are supposed to read these thousands of pages to decide whether or not to administer these vaccines. Joachim, is that for you the most important point? That struck me as an example of the European Union, because this is tolerated by the European Medical Authority, actually creating illegality. It's actually creating a regime of illegality. Yeah. It's a gigantic machine for generating legislation, as we know, the European Union. But here it is creating objectively a system of illegality, because no doctor has the time to read these 500 pages for each medicine that he prescribes. What led you to sign this letter?
I think it's many things. As Marcel said, there are so many things which are going really wrong in a very big scale. Therefore, it's so unbelievable what we find. We look on one aspect, and then you find fraud or something else, something really so hindrances and big mountains. You cannot surmount them. Yeah, so you cannot go. You must go outside of them and beyond them. And therefore, it's so many things which are really stunning and stunned me. It began at the beginning. It was in the first year when the things went wrong, and it didn't change. And I, as a member of the parliament in the committee of budget and budgetary control, I was very much involved with money. Yep. It's a money issue, you know, and it went wrong, so wrong for me as a very frugal person who thinks you must pay for all things. And now they have billions of euros throwing to the pharmaceutical firms about money, about things which are not proven, which are not safe, and which are safe for themselves. Say, we cannot say it's safe. Yeah, and that was for me. It was an enlightenment when one of the directors of Pfizer told the committee who was looking into it that he said, we didn't know it, and therefore we have no proof that it is safe.
That's right.
So insane. And therefore, I was very alert, and I spoke a lot about the thing and about vaccination. And at last, I was a little bit annoyed about our president Metsola when she wrote letter after letter that we should be vaccinated again.
Yes.
And therefore, that was for me thinking. And we wrote to her and said it's not okay. Yeah. We should not be coerced to be vaccinated.
Well, coercion is the, or at least interference is the key. Yeah. I mean, I'm very interested in the procedural aspects. I was struck as well by the evidence you found. I imagine you found this, Willem, that the European Medical Authority tried to accelerate the procedure. In other words, instead of sitting there neutrally and waiting for providers to come to them and show that their product is safe. And so these procedural things fascinate me, but I suspect our viewers are more interested in the substantial medical issues. Are they safe or are they dangerous? They're clearly
dangerous because they did not follow. And one of the procedures that was overlooked or fast-tracked, and it's called a major objection, and it has a lot to do with the good manufacturing practice that says that you have to have the procedure down to the minutiae, so you know that the product is always the same wherever you produce it and whenever you produce it. That was clearly not in order, and that probably has led to the differences between those batches. So some groups of batches have a very high incidence of adverse effects, but you do not know beforehand which ones. So the precautionary thing here to do is to say we have to regard all batches as unsafe.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing. And you cannot change it to say, well, only 4% of the batches is unsafe, so that's an acceptable
risk.
And
why are the different batches differently dangerous?
About vaccines erroneously. This is a new platform. Yes. It's an mRNA platform, which technically and scientifically and also legally is considered advanced medical therapeutical products. So in a sense, it's gene therapy.
Yeah.
Now, the scale it has been produced has also never been done. The adjuvants that were used has also never been done. So this is a worldwide experiment. And if you go down to those clinical trials on which the SmPC documents are based, you clearly see that some of them read real-world data. We are the guinea pigs. There's no going around it. It's an experimental gene therapeutic product that was fast-tracked by changing the rules, bending the rules, and trying to cover up those changes in the directive of 2021 on the 24th of March. And what you see there is on every level a little bit of tweaking the process so you get a completely unapproved, completely unsafe product on the market.
That's the procedural and side. Why are they... Why?
Basically,
yeah, I understand. Understand. But why are they dangerous? You mentioned myocarditis, you mentioned pericarditis, you mentioned heart disease, particularly affecting young men, apparently.
And even fatalities.
Let's concentrate on the substantial things.
Yeah, if we look at the adverse effects, and for the record, I was trained as a pharmaceutical scientist, so this is really my field. Now, if you look at the adverse effects, it's very broad. And we've discussed this with immunologists, infectiologists, also with pathologists. And what they find is that it is because of the choice of the target of the antigen. So the antigen, the spike protein, is divided in two units. And one of those units is actually toxic. So when that distributes all around the body, in every organ where it accumulates, and that can take months and months until your next jab, so you get this inflammation in all these organs.
Yes.
And that's why we see such a vast array of adverse effects. The most important one is, of course, the vascular system.
Yes.
Because it goes through the body, and this is one of the things that was missed because it was unjustly categorized as a vaccine. If it's categorized as a gene therapy, you have to do these distribution studies. In Japan, they did it. That's why we found out that it accumulates in every adipose tissue. So that's bone marrow. Well, if it's in bone marrow, that heightens the chance on all kinds of cancers. If it's in the arteries, that heightens the chance of aneurysms, on TIAs, on myocardial infarcts. So we clearly see that not only the target that was chosen, but the platform that was chosen and the delivery, the lipid nanoparticle, which makes it distributable all over the body, were all very, very ill-advised.
One of the points you make in the, well, you make in the letter to the EMA, and which I imagine comes from your case against the Dutch medical authority, is that the rules on genetically modified organisms were changed.
Yes.
Are these vaccines genetically modified organisms, or are they organisms which modify genes?
So,
are they modified themselves, or do they then modify genetics?
So both of those actions or mechanisms are in play here. So this letter was only directed towards the injections that are based on the mRNA platform. Normally, when we do gene therapy, we use a viral vector. So AstraZeneca made an injection, which is also gene therapy, but this was specifically focused against mRNA. Now, the argument of the proponents was, well, there is no chance it will shed because it will not replicate, although there is a batch that actually does the SA, self-amplifying mRNA. To mitigate the risk concerning normal gene therapeutic platforms. But what we see now is that it's also contaminated with DNA strands. And these DNA strands actually contain parts of other viruses, the simian 40 virus, which is associated with cancer.
Perhaps you could explain for our viewers RNA, DNA.
Yeah. So
I know it's very basic for you, but...
So normally what you carry as hereditary molecules that is basically the program of you, your body and your function, is programmed in DNA. It's double-stranded, it's not prone to mutation, but to get from there to a function or to a protein, we need an intermediary, and that's RNA. So the whole idea was to hijack the signaling system to make your body produce something that is designed in a lab.
Yeah.
So the whole idea is a great idea, but you have to test whether it's safe. And when you look at genetically modified organisms, there is a regulation 2001/18 for the European yeah. Union. This was bypassed in 2020
yeah.
to make it to make the clinical trials legal.
Sure.
Because they don't know what ends up in the environment. They don't know the effect on our genes. But looking closer to it, there was an even more important one, the regulation 2019/5, that actually bypassed parliamentary scrutiny and said, okay, all the conditions that are proposed for a conditional marketing authorization, including the classification of these biologicals, as they're called, so these medicinal products, we hand over to a committee of experts. Now, what they did is they misused that delegation to create a pseudo-legal system, which they then tried to bypass or tried to push through Parliament in 2021. So it had the approval of the European Commission and the European Parliament. In reality, there is no legal approval of any of these injections.
Marcel, you used the word corrupt or corrupted just now. The procedures have been corrupted.
Yes. Yes, because if you have for decades used certain procedures because you really want to protect the population and protect patients from harmful medicines, then you go through to a very precise procedure with testing, with scrutiny, so that you really are 100% sure that you end up with a medicine that's safe to use for the specific category of people that you want to use it on. Now, if you start changing these procedures to push through something that's experimental, then you can start asking questions. Where were all these millions used for that were paid to Pfizer and Moderna? Why are all these officials who are doing their jobs for decades in a very decent way certainly open to change all these rules and to bypass all these safety measures? Because that's what these procedures are for. They're safety measures. They're
yes, of course.
And they're for our safety.
Yep.
That's why these measures are there. And then you put them aside because of some experimental stuff that you, in a very high speed, want to pull through this process to inject into people, then something is really, really wrong. That's why I'm using the word corrupted.
Yeah.
I mean, you corrupt the procedures which guarantee your safety.
In the word corrupted, there is the word corrupt, and there is the allegation, is there not, that Ursula von der Leyen suppressed her text messages with the head of Pfizer, if I'm not mistaken. Would you like to tell us where we are on that? Have they been released, these text messages? Have they disappeared? And more specifically, is it corruption, not just corrupted?
That must a court must decide on that, and therefore we
wait. But a political accusation can be made. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. But therefore we wait for that EPPO, the prosecutor office in Luxembourg, will go on and with this case, because Ursula von der Leyen has their case. still open, and in many cases, as I heard. But we didn't hear anything about the ongoing of this, investigation. And therefore, I am, as a political and as an MEP, I am sure there will be no result, even not before the election next year.
Yes.
And therefore, it's only to feel that people feel safe, all things are working, all systems are working, and so on. But they are all working together in some sense about, and it's corruption in the political sense.
In the political sense.
It's really corruption, I'm sure. And it began, for me, it began with the origin of SARS-CoV-2. The origin of SARS-CoV-2, I think, is the biggest fraud, the biggest...
The lab?
It's really the biggest cover-up in medical history.
Yeah.
What are they doing there? And so forth. It began with a fraudster system, and it goes on with a corrupt solution. It's a solution which we didn't need. Yeah. And if we are going on and on and on with such things which we don't need. Yeah. I was never vaccinated with these mRNA technologies, and I'm happy about that. And I think the solution will be more people must see also that things are really deteriorating, they are going wrong and worse and worse. And then they will wake up, and then they will say, no. Never more vaccination, and that will be a good result. In this.
Well, one of purposes, of course.
John, Willem said something else, which comes close to what Joachim is saying. It is a conditional approval, and then you prolong the approval.
Yeah.
What you see with this, all these institutions, is that they cover each other.
Yeah.
They're covering for von der Leyen's SMSs. They're covering for this conditional approval. Now we get this prolongation.
Yeah.
It was addressed by Willem in the Netherlands. How can you prolong a conditional approval if you have all these data about adverse effects? The same question that we were asking at the EMA. The answer to Willem is, well, you have to go to the EMA. You can't ask us because we are just doing what Europe is asking from us.
Yeah, and that's why you've addressed this letter to the EMA.
But they are responsible in the Netherlands for the safety of the Dutch people.
Yeah.
And the EMA for the European people. So, you see, they're pointing to each other.
Exactly.
No, he's responsible. And that is also part of this network of covering each other.
Well, Willem, you were yourself, I believe, arrested.
Four
times. Tell us
tomorrow,
about that.
Tomorrow, the appeal case is continuing.
What were you arrested for?
The alleged thing is that I have incited people to break the law by going to a protest. Which already is dictatorial on itself. Eh? If you do not allow people to call for a protest. It's a ridiculous case.
It's unbelievable.
But even in
European
Germany...
democracy.
In Germany, it's even worse because Michael Baldeck, organized a lot of protests, he was in prison, in the pre-trial prison, for 9 months, and now they've dropped the case. So they locked up an innocent guy for 9 months.
It was because of alleged fraud.
Yeah.
Not because of participation at a rally.
Well,
yeah, and this
liberal values.
And yes, but this gaslighting, because I want to allude to the point of Marcel. What we see here in this case of the injections and the whole COVID case, you could say, this is an usurping of power by the European Commission. By trying to circumvent Parliament, by trying to create pseudo-laws, they're now usurping the power of health. The whole EU for Health program, which is based on the One Health ideology, is really scary. If we look to the WHO treaty, this is an exponent of what's actually happening here in this house or next door at the Commission. So by trying to answer this letter that we wrote to the Dutch version of the EMA, and their answer was telling, they said, well, we do not have the authority, you have to go to Europe,
yeah,
which is untrue. In all this European legislation, it clearly states that the end result, or the person that is ultimately responsible, is the sovereign state itself. And that is a thing that is very worrisome, that with this COVID narrative, the sovereignty is taken away from the states even more.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm so happy that now we have a pincher movement in that, yeah, in that sense, that, yeah, we do it on a national level and a European level, because now they have to keep pointing towards each yeah, other, and we are starting a law case, a court case against them as well, because we want answers.
Yeah, well, I mean, the fact of Europe taking sovereignty away from member states is not new. They've been doing that for a very, very long time.
But this is a new route.
But this is a further click in the ratchet, yeah, and it is, if you're to be believed, creating at the European level a regime of illegality.
Absolutely.
If it was legal, at least, you might just about find it bearable. What about Germany? Are you going to? Are you aware of any initiatives in Germany appeal against the German health authority in the way that they have done, yeah, for the Netherlands?
Yeah. Okay, in Germany, I don't know what the situation, yeah, is about what my colleagues and from the AfD, yeah, in Berlin are doing, but I know that they are really very outspoken and very proactive on many cases, on many things, and they had many of the scientists there and medical professionals and so on in the house, in the Bundestag, and therefore I am very confident that, yeah, they will do the same or have done it. I don't know.
Because Germany is obviously
the situation.
Germany is one of the places where the mRNA technology was developed. The Pfizer, yeah, the BioNTech.
Sure, yeah, but yeah, in some, yeah, in some sense it was. It, yeah, was in Germany, yeah, but I think it's mostly in from the US.
Right.
And Mr. Malone, yeah, he's still the original inventor of it. And even if now the Nobel Prize was given to another pair of scientists, which is, yeah, not, which is not the original inventor. But okay, we will see. It's Germany is. I think in Germany we have a big problem about that the people believe in the state very, very strongly.
Yes.
And therefore it's a long way to collect all the persons who are willing to oppose the system. Therefore, I hope for these things that we from the European level or from the Dutch level can help them, yeah, to convince them to be more outspoken, to be more frankly and confident to oppose the government.
Well, psychologically.
I'm so happy that you call this Nobel Prize winners.
Yes.
Because that gives an sort of an illusion of, no, well, we gave these doctors yeah, the Nobel Prize for medicine, so that must be a good medicine.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
I tell you this, these two medical doctors themselves warned in 2018
yes,
for the adverse effects of mRNA vaccines. Mm. They warned themselves.
Okay.
So let's get rid of this idea that it's that because they have the Nobel Prize, it's safe. It's not.
Well, the Nobel Peace Prize, as we've known, those of us who are interested in foreign policy know that it's deeply politicized and has been for a long time.
Yeah.
And now we see that that's happening in the medical arena as well. Marcel de Graaf, Willem Engel, Joachim Kuz, thank you very much indeed. And thanks for watching. Goodbye.
What a pleasure.